prophetic is medicine. You're sick, you need a prescription, find someone operating in the prophetic realm. But don't just find anybody. Find the people that God has called you to find. You know, I said this last 2 weeks ago, I'll say it again. I'm thankful for the prophets and prophetesses across the earth right now. I'm thankful for apostles across the earth right now who are doing incredible things. But what I will say is this, not every prophetic word is for your community. Literally, you could go on the internet right now and you could find authentic, biblical, prophetic words that are awesome and they have nothing to do with your community. I encourage our community all the time. Let's not be people that search for those words and try and apply them in our context. Let's hear what God is saying for us. Yeah. And every word out there, what it can do then, it can be a confirming word that confirms that we are on the right track at the right place in the right time.
Yeah.
Just like this today, this can be a prophetic word to other communities. It can enable them to step into a realm. But specifically, the things that we're speaking about today is for us here in this region and for us here in this nation so we can do everything that He's called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
I'm thankful for the prophetic words. I'm thankful for the prophets that I run with. I'm thankful for the apostles that I know. But what I'll say is this, is that we need to be more about family and building the body up in our local context so we can be strong.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea to be a prophet or an apostle and go and travel the world and have signs and wonders breaking out and your local family is anemic and distraught.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We need to be a people that build the local family up so they can all be strong in Christ, and then if we're sent out, we know that the family is going to be okay.
Yeah.
Prove it. All the way through the book of Acts, Paul the Apostle, he stays at certain places for a certain time. So until he feels the assignment of God has lifted in that place. He never left the place without it being strengthened, encouraged, and empowered so it could be all it was for that local context.
Yeah.
He never did that. He always enabled the local body to be robust and strong and full of faith so when he did leave, because he was called to other places, that he could leave it in a place of strength.
Mm.
He also said this, I long to come back to you, but because I can't, here's a letter of prophetic encouragement that's going to enable you to take yourselves to the place that God has for you a little bit further down the road. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, I hope you're enjoying yourself. I'm enjoying myself in the Holy Ghost. I want to share a couple of things out of the book of Hebrews chapter 6. So let's just go there now. I'm not sure how long I've been going for, but that's okay. Let us preach all day, amen.
Amen.
We're going to get an opportunity for a few weeks, so may as well just jump into it. People are already starting to sweat when I say that. Amen. So we're going to jump into the book of Hebrews, and I want us to go to chapter 6, because I want to talk to you about some apostolic things that are happening right now. The apostolic takes us from the elementary into the mature fruit of the kingdom. I'll say it again. The apostolic takes us from the elementary into the mature fruit of the kingdom. At best, when you do not embrace the apostolic and the prophetic, you actually have to wait for fruit to actually come forth, and you might just get one apple over 10 years, so to speak. But those who embrace and come under the true biblical Christ-centered, apostolic and prophetic, they walk in fields of orchards with endless apples and mega fruit. I'm going to say it again. At best, when you don't embrace the apostolic and the prophetic, you have to wait 10 years or so and you might get one apple, so to speak. But those who embrace and come under true biblical Christ-centered, apostolic and prophetic, they get to walk in fields of orchards with endless apples and mega fruit.
Amen.
What am I saying? I'm saying this. Without the apostolic in your community, without the apostolic moving in your life, you are disabled in the body of Christ. That's a strong statement, but it's true. without the apostolic leading you, without apostles, men and women who are called to the gifting of being apostolic, they can't create in Christ, in your community, a culture of the apostolic, which disables the body from being in that realm of the apostolic itself. The word apostolos, when we look at it in the Greek, and we've studied this for years now, this word is more than a sent one or a person that's sent to a location. It's actually someone who is creating a culture of the kingdom in a certain place.
Amen.
How do we think we can do anything in Christ without apostles and prophets? And I'll say this again, I've said this many times before the last few years, is that in the world right now, we live in a church, especially in Australia, in this region, we live in a church that is one-fold. What do I mean by that? Well, it says there's five-fold, I call it the full-fold. If you haven't got the full-fold operating, then you are disabled somewhere and you cannot step into the fullness of what your community is called to. Mm-hmm. We need to be a people that submit ourselves to the Bible, which says that we are called to have apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, shepherding, and teaching cultures that enable the body to grow so it can become mega. That word mega is this. That word mega is a metamorphosis that is talked about when it says that we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That word transform is metamorphosis in the Greek. It means that you are completely changed in every way, that you look nothing like you looked before when you're transformed.
Yeah.
The body of Christ,
amen.
I encourage you, in the body of Christ, we need to be a people that understand what it means to live in the apostolic, the prophetic, the true. I'll tell you this, evangelism was never supposed to be about one weird guy in your church who gets really excited about God. The true evangelio of the Greek means this. It means to enable the body to be a living witness and a living testimony. That even when you go to Coles, as you're walking down the bread aisle, you start to get a revelation of the bread of life, and anyone who's in that place, they get impacted by the bread of life who's in you.
Wow.
I'm not going to spend time, I didn't want to preach on that today, but amen. And so the apostolic produces the environment for Hebrews 6 to take place. The apostolic, it actually produces the environment so that we can step into the Hebrews 6 mandate, which every community of believers is called to walk in. And so we're going to have a bit of a journey now in Hebrews 6. It says this, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, and the faith towards God, and the instructions about washing, the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and who have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then have to fall away to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. Whoa. We need to move away from the elementary places that Christ has called us to. Let's look at what the writer of Hebrews calls elementary truth, elementary teaching. He says this, the writer of Hebrews says this, repentance from dead works, elementary. Faith towards God, elementary. Laying on of hands, elementary. Instructions about washing, elementary. The resurrection of the dead, elementary. Eternal judgment, elementary. Whoa. All of those things right there, I could take you now, I haven't got time, I'll go through church history, and I could show you all of those things there is where communities, denominations, and nations get stuck.
Yeah.
And they don't move on. And I want to say this, they can't move on from there if they haven't got apostolic and prophetic people who are teaching them about the kingdom realm.
Yeah.
I'll say it again, without apostolic and prophetic people teaching about the kingdom realm, we cannot move on from the elementary teachings of Christ. And it says this. It says that you have, in there it says, listen, if you try and do that again, if you keep repeating yourself and arguing and having discourse and having conferences about it, if you keep doing that, you're going to disable yourself from eating of the age to come now.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
That's what the word says. It says they have forfeited their ability to taste and see that the Lord is good and taste and see the kingdom realm now, which is available through, well, through the grace of the apostolic and the prophetic. And so we want to be a people that are enabling others to come under the shelter and the shade of the Most High God so they can be equipped, they can be transformed, and then they can move away from the elementary teachings and they can step into the kingdom realm. Am I saying that new Christians go bypass this? No. But what I'm saying is this, is that as we as communities grow, the fruit of our growth, should we should be tasting more and more of the age to come now. You might call that heresy, or you might call that a new age practice. I dare you to go into the Word of God and seek the Lord and understand that we are supposed to be partakers of the kingdom realm that is then, right now.
Yeah.
I want to remind you that in eternity there's no time.
Amen.
Jesus said this, I pray, this is how you should pray, guys. God, you are awesome and holy. Get your kingdom to earth. The kingdom realm, I want you to think of this. The kingdom realm is not a thing that is coming in the future. The kingdom realm is already perfected now.
Yeah.
We don't do anything on earth to make the kingdom realm any better. What we do on earth is we start to understand through the Holy Spirit that we have access to things now that we were taught for generations that we couldn't have till we go to be with Him. And so, as we grow, we need to understand the Holy Spirit wants to empower us with the prophetic and empower us with the apostolic so we can be called to all we are called to be. If I don't simply admit myself to true prophetic and true apostles in the world today, I cannot step into everything that I'm called to. You know, I sat under a man who was a great spiritual father of mine who passed away a few years ago, and I was ridiculed for sitting under someone who was actually a real apostle because people didn't believe that apostles were real. Well, I'll tell you something right now. If you think that apostles aren't real, good luck trying to be effective in any way on the earth for Christ. Because we need the apostolic and the prophetic. It's the only way. They're like gates that enable us to walk into the safety and security of the kingdom realm so we can be more than effective in Christ Jesus. Elijah came from a place of the mountain of testimonies, of heaped up testimony. I see it like this. There are so many testimonies flowing out of your life, it creates a mountain. Moses went to Horeb as well. The mountain was called Mount Horeb. They go to that mountain, and Moses receives a testimony. Elijah goes to the mountain, and he receives a testimony. Christ, Jesus, he goes to a mountain, not the same mountain. He goes to the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah both come. They converse, which I believe was releasing a transgenerational consciousness.
Wow.
Which means that, and that's not my word, by the way, which means this, they were actually enabling the realms to come together. They were enabling the law, the prophetic, and the kingdom to come together. And then when Jesus came back down, a new era, or a new eon, a new age had begun. And so we have the ability through Christ to walk in the prophetic realm. We have the ability in Christ to walk in the law of the Spirit. Remember, the Bible says this, we are no longer under the old covenant law, we are now under the law of the Spirit. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And then we now are enabled through Christ to hear the Father speak to us and to see His plans and purposes come onto the earth.
Yeah.
Some people might ask, what about providence and what about the sovereignty of God? Well, let me tell you about the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is true in every way, shape, or form. But Mary enabled Christ to do something outside of the ordered way. When they go to the wedding of Cana, we know this story, right? He says, my time has not yet come. And she says, the response is, do whatever he says. And what I want to say is that sometimes what can happen is that through the gift of faith, you can enable things to come that weren't going to come if the gift of faith wasn't there. And I want to encourage you, Paul says like this, all the gifts of the Spirit, or the word gifts on there, all the spiritual things that happen in the Holy Spirit, all of them are connected to faith. And I want you to have faith for each of those giftings. Elijah had faith that what he was hearing and what he was saying was the very words of God Almighty. You know, it says then Elijah goes on and he trains prophets. It says there were these schools of prophets. But I want to say this to you. The word school there is a very poor translation. What is better to say is this. In the Old Testament, there were families of prophets.
Come on.
There were families of prophets. There were families of prophetic people that changed the landscape and the environment around them. Isn't it awesome, right? I love when the spirit of prophecy is present. Because someone who doesn't even prophesy can come into that realm and start prophesying.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Then they go home and they read, I haven't heard. It's because what happens is when you're a family and when you're a kingdom family is that things start to happen that wouldn't happen otherwise.
Yeah.
When you are joined, when you are linked, when you are empowered together, you're able to step away from the elementary teachings of Christ. You're able to step away of going around in circles, talking about, is the judgment of God coming now? Is it coming now? Is laying on hands real today? You can stop all that because when you come into the kingdom realm, it actually enables you to not have to argue about elementary things anymore because there's too much to discover in the kingdom realm.
Amen.
The Bible says to us that we are supposed to be tasting. We are supposed to be partaking in that of the age that is to come now. Do I believe all of that will happen now? No. I believe that when Christ Jesus returns in the fullness to the city of the King and the city of Jerusalem, then we will see the fullness of that kingdom come. But that does not mean that there is none of that kingdom now.
That's right. Yeah.
It does mean, I'll say this, yes and yes. Is it coming? Yes. Is it now? Yes.
Yes.
How can that be? Yahweh.
That's right.
We go on then. I want to finish this morning. Hallelujah. I don't want to finish, but amen. But let's jump into Hebrews 12. We're going to go to the end of Hebrews 12 because I want to talk about a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I want to talk about a people that cannot be shaken. I want to talk about you and your life and the ability in Christ to enable you to not be shaken. And so Hebrews 12 is this great discourse about the ability of the cloud of witnesses to empower us, about the blood of the shedding, of the disciplines of God, of the other things that are happening in the kingdom realm. It talks about being pure and holy. And then we come to this place in verse 18. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire, darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. Right now on the earth, we don't need more programs and more systems. We need more of the Holy Spirit filling sons and daughters.
Yeah.
Indeed, verse 21, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all spirits, and to the spirits of righteousness made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better, or word, than the blood of Abel. You have come to the city of the living God. In a few weeks' time, I'm going to go on a bit of an adventure with you guys again, but I want to say something quickly. The Spirit of the living God, the city of the heavenly Jerusalem, that is a now reality. Psalm 1, Ezekiel 47, and Revelation 22, there's rivers of life. My brother John, who's here with us, I loved the other day, he sent a message saying it wasn't water. No, correct. It's the river of life.
Yeah.
I don't believe those rivers are in heaven. I believe we are supposed to be enacting those rivers here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
You say, what? That's a big statement to make. Revelation 22 says this, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations.
Amen.
There's no healing needed in heaven. But what there is a need of is for nations to be healed.
Yeah, yeah.
What there is a need of is for regions to be healed. What there is a need of is households to be healed. What there is a need of is hearts to be healed.
Yeah.
And that only happens through a people who are living in the kingdom realm of Almighty God.
Yeah.
That only happens when we live in the culture created by apostles and prophets and evangelists, teachers and shepherds, that enable us as the body to be equipped and come up into maturity. Our greatest prayer for us is that we would come into maturity in Christ. What does maturity look like? I've seen maturity operate. I've seen maturity operate in kids. You say, oh, but that Jesus said to become like a child so that we could inherit the kingdom.
Yeah.
He said, become like a child. Well, he said, like, actually, you better become like a child. Otherwise, the kingdom can't be in you. If you go and look at that word in Matthew 18, verse 3, it says this. The word is this. Become like a child in your intellect so you don't think you know more than you know. Doesn't mean come like a child, like a baby. It means become like a child in your intellect so then the kingdom realm can influence what you're thinking, what you're saying,
yeah,
and what you're doing.
It's good.
Children, come to me. That's what Jesus said. Let the little children come to me. How can I be a mature Christian and be like a child? The answer is yes and yes. There's a mystery. The word mysterion in the Greek means this. There are things in Christ and his kingdom that are hidden from the common gaze. That literally, the word mysterion is where we get the word mystery. Anyone ever, you know, seen a good mystery show? And in a good mystery show, the reason it's called a mystery is because they can't find out what's happening. Well, that's actually the opposite of the word mystery in the Bible. The word mysterion means this. There are things that are going to be hidden from the common gaze. You're going to need the Spirit of God to be able to see them. Can I go further? You're going to need to be in a community that is apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, has the full fold working so you can be enabled to see the hidden things.
Yeah.
Jesus said this, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found treasure in a field, and in his joy, he went and sold everything to buy the field.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't run away with a bit of treasure he found. The kingdom realm is not a little bit. The kingdom realm is there is so much to explore and so much expensive things happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My encouragement is just to us this morning. We would be a people like Elijah that would not worry about being in obscurity, would not worry about being in the wilderness. You know, I've heard so much preaching that the wilderness is a bad, really bad place. Well, you know what? The wilderness is where the stars are brightest. The wilderness is where the stars are brightest. I prophesied to you this morning, your wilderness time is not a time of depletion. It may be a time of restriction, but the wilderness time that you are living in is a time of transformation.
Thank you.
It is a time where you are going to be metamorphosized.
And
you won't even recognize the person you are if you stay in the wilderness as long as he calls you to. Don't be hasty this morning, young one and old one. Don't be hasty to leave the wilderness of God before His breath and His wind and His spirit leads you out.
Come on.
Hoist your sail.
Amen.
But don't hoist it too quickly. Hoist your sail, but make sure your boat is prepared.
Mm.
Hoist your sail, and if you get stuck on a bank, then put your hand up and allow the prophetic and the apostolic to pull you back to shore so you can be repaired and sent back out.
Amen.
The wilderness of Almighty Yahweh is a place of discovery, is a place of adventure, and it's a place where all the world's lights grow dim and the heavenly lights become reality. The wilderness realm is a place of encounter. I break off you every negative word about the wilderness.
Amen.
I break off you every word that's, I'm living in. No, I decree right now, if you said, I'm living in, that's not the wilderness. The wilderness is a place of promise.
Yeah.
It's a place of complete discovery.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place where you get to meet with Him face to face. It's a place where you get to encounter Him. David is in the wilderness. They've sent him out going, where's that other boy? Is there even another son? And he's out there with the Lord. Think about your life and think about the activity that comes from these things and other things in your life. I challenge you to turn off everything. Whoa. I challenge you to turn off everything so you can be enabled with everything that you actually need.
Yeah.
Elijah didn't have an iPhone or an iPad. He didn't have a status update. He didn't have a dislike or a like button. What he had was the true prophetic word of God.
Yeah.
And I decree over us as a community, I decree over this region, I decree over this nation, that if we want to see the things that we have been enabled to see, if we want to walk in the precepts of what God has called us to walk in, then it is about time that we got rid of all the distractions.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about time that we invited the Holy Spirit to come and to remove from our midst everything that is competing with the true Word of God.
Yeah.
Let's encourage each other.
Mm.
Yes, I know the internet can be used for awesome stuff. Yes, we use it to stream stuff. Yes, I know. But what I'm saying is that if it's being a distractor, any process, not just this, anything in our lives that actually takes us away from the Word of God.
Mm.
And I'm not talking about the Bible, I'm talking about the prophetic Word of God. Let's be people that seek Him like Elijah seeked Him.
Mm.
Let's be people that build up a mountain of testimony.
Yeah.
So when someone comes, how are you? We can, did you hear about what happened yesterday? No, I didn't. Did you hear the news? Maybe we can start to rewrite the news. Maybe we can start to have the good news.
Amen.
Maybe we can start to release the good news. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, they're all coming in, which means I want to sing. So I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to pray for us, and then we're going to have some fun in the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, in this moment, we surrender and we seek Your face. We pray, Father, that You would take us from the elementary teachings and that we would start to partake and taste in the age to come now. We pray, Father, that You would take us into the kingdom realm of God. And we would, that, let's pray for the body of Christ, that the body would stop going around in circles arguing about doctrinal dissertations and meanings of this and meanings of that and heretical thinking. I pray they would come into a kingdom thinking now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I pray all across this region that You would raise up apostles and prophets.
Yes.
You'd raise up evangelists and shepherds and teachers that aren't looking to build a ministry so they can be famous, but are looking to build up the body of Christ so it can be robust, strong. Because I decree now in the days ahead, we are going to need an apostolic, prophetic-led church to have any chance of being effective on the earth. We decree the church is not in decline right now. I just prophesy now religion is in decline. I prophesy that what's going to decline is the religious order that will not submit to the Holy Spirit. But what's going to increase right now is sons and daughters
Amen.
Who are being empowered
yes,
by the Spirit
Lord.
Of God.
Yes.
We're going to see a whole region erupt with sons and daughters who are being led by apostolic prophetic companies, apostolic prophetic movements, apostolic and prophetic families that are going to enable sons and daughters to step into everything they're called to be. We decree an increase right now.
Yep.
Oh, sons and daughters would be raised up. The body of Christ is not on a decline. We decree the body of Christ is on an increase now
yes.
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We decree the body is going to grow. It's going to grow up into the maturity of Christ, and it's going to grow in influence and people now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We decree as well that there is a, we speak a declining now to the religious order right now in the name of Jesus. We decree religious systems to be broken.
Yes.
We decree, Lord, where religion has trapped people, we command control to be broken this morning right now in the name of Jesus. Come into the kingdom realm. Come into the place of the Holy Spirit. Come into who you are always created to be.
Yes, Lord.
We decree these things. And we bless you this morning. May the power of the Holy Spirit fill you where you are. May the majesty and the glory of Jesus Christ fill everything that you do. And we give all the honor and all the praise and all the glory and all the strength to Christ this morning. You are the King and you are the head over all things. No denomination is better than the other. No leader is better than another. No Christian is better than another. We decree a new day. We decree, we decree a new age on the church right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree an apostolic prophetic merging right now on the church in this region and the church in this nation, Australia. We decree, Lord, an apostolic prophetic age, Lord, that would usher in your kingdom, God. And we would be a people, a 2 Peter 3:12 people, earnestly ask the Spirit of God to come. Earnestly contend for Jesus to come back. And we would be a people that would say with the Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus, come. We bless you today. We bless you today with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. May the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ flow into you now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
There's a song that I've been singing this week, and it's about a scarecrow in a field, and where a bird comes in, and it says, if I were a foolish bird, I would listen to my fear, and I would fly away from here. But if I were a bird, if I were a wise bird, I would listen to my heart, and I would search the treasure hidden in the field. So, Lord God, where we, I just pray against the fear of missing out with all the distraction around us. Break that fear of missing out. We can't miss out on what the Lord is doing. We cannot afford to miss out on this. It is too good. It is too good to us for what we could possibly miss out on. I just pray our priorities are in check this week. Check your priorities. Check the order. There is a divine order. I just pray that we can just check that this week. And I pray that we are the bird that listens to the heart. And he doesn't listen and doesn't see the scarecrow for what it looks like. But he goes and checks the field and finds the hidden treasure. And as we sing this song, I feel the Spirit on this song this morning, because we are just declaring this over our land. This is our land. This is the Lord's land. This is our nation. And it is of the